And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can be seated. As you know, we started this in a sermon series on those theme words from Advent, hope, peace, joy, and love. If you recall, Advent chapter 1, right? Pastors read the Bible. Advent week 1, the theme was hope. And I hope everybody caught the idea that Christian hope does not mean something we're wishing for, but something that we know, right? That our hope is certain in Christ, the crucified and risen one. So we know we don't have heaven right now, but we do have heaven. It's ours and it's a guarantee. Last week we talked about the tranquility of head and heart that transcends or that is regardless of our circumstances. And I get it, that's tough. Of course, with our hope, then we have peace. Today is joy, and so far I've been defining the words, but I decided I'm not going to define the word joy. I want to just use it in a sentence, right? That's what the kids at the spelling bee say. Can you use it in a sentence? The reason I don't want to define it is I looked it up in the dictionary, and they had odd definitions like ecstasy. I thought that was kind of odd. So anyway, joy, here's this is the theme of the sermon. If you know this, you got everything I'm about to say. This is the sentence. God has intended for us to enjoy life, right? God has intended for us to enjoy life. People sometimes say life is good. That's true. Life is full of hardship. That's true too. But God wants you to enjoy life. I looked it up in a concordance. The word joy happens in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament together, 246 times. Joy, 246 times. But I was looking it up under joy, and it suddenly occurred to me that there's related words I want to look up too. So they're not alphabetically right next to each other. If I want to look up joy, I also thought, and will you agree with me, the word rejoice is related to it, right? The word rejoice happens 181 more times. And how about this word, enjoy? Enjoy. That happens 58 times in the Bible. Joy, rejoice, and joy, 485 times in the Bible. So let me ask you, does God want us to enjoy life? He does. The word joy doesn't happen in this next sentence, but you've heard it many a time, John 10:10. Jesus said, I don't know if you recognize the reference, John 10:10, but when I say the first half, you'll know the second half. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and what? And that they might have it more abundantly. That's Jesus talking to us. Now, I want us to bear that in mind. God wants us to enjoy life. Now, true story. At my church in Connecticut, we had a guest preacher one time, and he was laying it on thick about the hardship of life, the difficulties, disease, and persecution, and the hatred of the world. He went on and on about how hard it is to be a Christian over and over and over again. It's not that what he said was wrong. It's just that he was really building up a mountain of evidence. And after that worship service, one of my members said to me, surely there's more to life than just that. And that's true. It's not that the hardships aren't there. It's just that that's not the whole story, right? I was thinking about, so what kind of things might bring me joy? I'm going to list a couple. You could write your own list, but here's some things that I would say. How about this? This is a joyful thing. To go out to dinner with a friend you haven't seen in years. Isn't that nice? And you're there enjoying the evening, and it feels like you were together last week. Right? Renee and I had an old college buddy dropped by several months ago. We went out to dinner. It was like we hadn't been apart. We would receive good news about someone's success. To hear that someone you love is enjoying success in life. Here's one. To see your children become really decently behaved young adults. You know, they got through the teenage years and they've turned out okay. That's a joyful thing, isn't it? Here's another. To celebrate the birth of a new baby. That's a moment of joy to receive that new little life. How about this one? To be in the Lord's house. I hope you find joy in being here, to be with one another. As much as it's a joy to be in the Lord's house, here's one I was thinking of as well. To fellowship with fellow believers, but off campus. It's great to see each other here, but isn't it fun to see each other away from here. Just last Sunday, several of us went to a minor league hockey game in Greenville. It was awesome. People never know what to do when the pastor is dressed casually and, you know, having nachos at the arena. To watch the waves on the beach sitting next to a loved one are those joyful moments. Enjoy them, right? Enjoy them. There's many more, many more. I want us to look for just a brief moment at our epistle lesson this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, our second lesson. And this is a wonderful book from Paul. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord. That's our hope. But he's talking about those things. And at the end of the book, he does like he often does. You and I would call these bulleted points. He goes boom, 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 write a bunch of stuff. But look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. What's the first thing? Be joyful. Always, he says. That's hard. But be joyful. Number 17, I think these things are kind of connected, by the way. Number 17, pray continually. To be in a prayerful mindset. Number 18, to give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. Does God want us to be joyful? Yeah, it's said in the Bible over and over again. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. I want to look at some other passages because Paul does say continually, and I think we know that's sometimes kind of hard. So I want to look at some passages of the Bible I love, and we'll kind of go from one to the next. But here's the first one I want to go to. Nehemiah chapter 8, Old Testament. This is Israel after the Babylonian captivity. They've been in Babylon. They've now come back. The city is a shambles. They've rebuilt the altar. They've just rebuilt the wall. And in celebrating that, Ezra reads the law. Ezra reads the word of God to the people. And guess what the people are doing? They're weeping. They're weeping. Now, how is it that they're hearing the word of God and weeping? The answer is they're letting the light of God's word shine itself on their lives. And they've become conscious of what they haven't kept, right? There is that part of the Word of God, we call it the law, that corrects. And it rebukes, and they're hearing it. And they're being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And they should be celebrating all that God has done, but they're weeping. This is a key passage then. Them doing that, by the way, their response is not wrong, but it needs to be adjusted. And this is what they say. Ezra says in Nehemiah 8, verse 9, he says, "This day is holy to Yahweh your God. Do not mourn or weep." There is the law, and it corrects. But more than the law is the gospel. That God loves them and you, and he wants us to come into his presence with thanksgiving. Now, that's 8:9. Here's 8:10. He says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks." It does not say bourbon, but I think as Southerners, we know. But go and enjoy to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. And then this beautiful passage, and to send some to those who have nothing prepared. Isn't that great? Rejoice in the Lord. Receive his salvation. Receive his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy. And then have a nice meal. The Bible often thinks of rejoicing as eating. That's nice. And then to take care of those who have less. Nehemiah 8. Next passage I want to look at is Psalm chapter 30. Verse 5, you will know this passage again once I say the first half. You'll know the second half right away. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night. What's the second half? But joy comes in the morning. There's a beautiful passage on joy. But I want us to catch this. Weeping can endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Why does it say that? The reason it says it is that the Christian life, I think you know this, is not constant giddiness. Sometimes people think, well, if you're a Christian, you're just going to be on cloud nine all the time. That is false. And that's burdensome to say to people that they should do that. The Bible lets us know that real sorrow comes. What sorrows can come into the life of a Christian? All the sorrows of life can come to us. But this is what it's saying. Weeping might endure for the evening, but joy comes in the morning. Now, I get this. Sometimes the weeping is more than just one night. I want to acknowledge that. That is the case. But this is what it's saying, that joy does come. Whenever we're in the midst of something, there is a day of the Lord's favor yet to come. Right? Hang on. Joy comes in the morning. That's a wonderful passage. I wish everybody would remember it. By the way, that entire psalm is so worth reading. Next one I want to look at, 2 Timothy verse, the fourth verse of chapter 1. 2 Timothy, young pastor trained by Paul. They often worked very closely together in their missionary work, but now they're apart. This is what the verse says. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." Why does he say recalling your tears? Timothy lamented that they had parted ways. They were absent from one another. And Timothy is saying, I miss being with Paul. And Paul says, I recall your tears. I miss you too. And he says, I long to see you. Why? That I might be filled with joy. There's something about Christian fellowship that it is good to be together, right? We have a busy week. A lot goes on. It's great to come into the house of the Lord. And it's good to be with fellow believers, right? Christians, it's good to be together and to encourage one another. The Bible actually says it that way. I want to look at Psalm chapter 19, verse 8. Two more passages I want to look at. Psalm 19, where is our joy? What is the source of our joy? Psalm 19, 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. What gives us joy? The Word, the Scriptures. There's lots of circumstances we can take joy in, and you should enjoy those things, but the basis of your real joy is rooted in the Word of God. To read it, to hear it, to study it, to meditate on it, to think on it, to inwardly digest, if you remember that old prayer, to be rooted, of course, in the certainty of what's in there. By the way, Psalm 19, read that entire chapter, 14 verses about the Word of God, and it brings wisdom and knowledge, but comfort and assurance of our salvation. Of course, as New Testament believers, especially assurance of our salvation in the Lord. Psalm 51, 12, we're going to sing this in a few minutes, but you guys know it. Psalm 51 is a psalm that David wrote after his terrible sin with Bathsheba. And after his terrible sin with Bathsheba, he commits another terrible sin to cover up that sin. And the prophet Nathan comes and confronts him, and David does not evade, he confesses. And this is the way it goes, confession and forgiveness, right? That's the way it always goes in the Bible, sin and grace, repentance and restoration. And so this is what the text says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. To joy in the Word of God, that's Psalm 19, Psalm 51, to have joy in our salvation. You belong to God in Christ. You're forgiven and made new. Be joyful in that, right? That's what David discovered. So all those passages, I wanted us to get kind of that back and forth, right, that happens between weeping and joy. You're not going to be joyful all the time, but that's okay. I want to conclude with this thought. Christians, this is the way I want to say it, and we'll talk about it. Christians are not called to be Mr. Spock. Do you know where I am now? When I say Mr. Spock, some of you are smiling, some of you are, what is he talking about? Mr. Spock from Star Trek, right? Last night, people were doing the hand gesture. Nobody did that at 8 o'clock. There, I see finally some. No criticism of Mr. Spock, but Mr. Spock is emotionless. He's controlled. He's stiff. You were not called to that. I would say that Christians are called to live a vivid life, to experience the highs and the lows, to have the joys and the challenges. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus criticizes the people of his day. He says, "We played the pipe for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn." You hear what he's saying? He's saying they're refusing to be engaged with life and all of its swings. We're not called to be manic, of course, but we are called to have a vivid life that experiences all those things. There's terrible sorrows, there's wonderful joys. Jesus, I want us to bear in mind, think of these things. We think of Jesus as always calm. Where does that come from? Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers. That's kind of vivid. Jesus wept at the graveside of Lazarus. And the Bible often says that when Jesus saw the people, he was moved with compassion. The Greek word is splanknizomai. It means to feel it in the gut. Can you imagine that? Splanknizomai. Yeah, look that up. That's the actual word. It means to feel it in the gut. That's your Lord Jesus, not Mr. Spock, but Jesus. Let's say this. Does weeping come into the life of a believer? Yes. But I want to say it this way. Weeping is the interruption. The real thing is joy. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.